Today we start the seventh parak of Maseches Bava Basra. Today's daf is daf Kuf Gimel. We are holding on daf Kuf Beis Amud Beis at the very beginning of the parak, at the Mishnah. So says the Mishnah, Ha'omer lechavero, the guy says to his friend, Beis Kor Afar Ani Mochelach, I'm going to sell you a Beis Kor of Afar, meaning a Beis Kor of land, which Rashbam points out, Kishir Beis Kor Afar Ani Mochelach, Dahainu Lefi Cheshbon Sasayim B'chatzar Mishkon, that I'm going to sell you based on the Cheshbon of two Sa'as in the Chatzar of the Chatzar Mishkon, Dahainu Me'ah Al Chamishim, meaning that a 100 Amma by 50 Amma a piece of land, mikan seva chashov le base kor tesva pa'am imeya al nun. Meaning, use that as the way to measure what a base kor is, which would be 15 times 100 by 50. How do we get that number? Shebeis kor hu chomer vu asara efos. Shnemer ki asaras habatim chomer. Uksiv ha'efa v'habas tochen echad lahen. Va'efa shalosh se'in. Because we know that a beis kor is 10 efos. An efa is 3 se'in. Nimtza beis kor lamed se'in. Right? If a beis kor is 10 efos, and each efa is 3 se'in, so each beis kor is 30 se'in. V'lav makom aray lizra kor tevua ka'amar, elfi cheshman sheshiru chachamim kudeprishnacha. And we don't mean an area where you can plant a kor of grain. Right? Rather, it's this objective cheshbon of a base kor being a particular size, being 15 times the size of 100 by 50 amos. Fine, so that is a base kor. Guy says, I'm selling you a base kor of afar. What if within that land there were crevices in the ground that were 10 tefachim deep, or rocks on the ground that were 10 tefachim high? So the halacha is that those do not get measured together with it. They don't count as part of the base kor of afar. Now, einim dadim ma, says Rashbam. What does that mean? So what is the halacha with it? Ella nosn beis kor shalem mikarka chalak the kivan da amukim ogavon asara, meaning he says that rather what do? You give him a base kor, a complete base kor of flat land, that these crevices and these rocks don't get counted toward the base kor. He needs a base kor of flat land, because since these are deep or high, ukigon sharuchavin arba al arba, davu makum chashu bifnei atzman, and they also happen to be wide. It's interesting, the Mishnah never mentions anything about them being wide, but the Rashbam says, obviously, if it's just a tiny little crack that goes 10 tefachim deep, but it's just a kol shehu wide, so why should that be anything? So where do you draw the line? What's considered significant, a significant crack in the land? What's considered an insignificant crack in the land? So the Rashbam says, well, we know what's considered makom chashuv and what's not considered makom chashuv by Hilcha Shabbos, so we'll just take the rules by Hilcha Shabbos and apply them over here. So the Rashbam on his own says, so it must be Rechav in arba al arba, dav makom chashuv b'fnei atzman. Afilu the inyan rishus ha'yachad the Shabbos. That since that an area that's four tefachim wide is considered its own rishus legabe Shabbos, it's considered rishus ha'yachad for Shabbos. Ein daito shel adam liknos sada echad v'yelo tarech kishtei sados lachro shel izroa b'shnei mekamos l'malo l'mata k'nefresh b'gemara. When a person, even if you can plant inside those cracks, Rashbam is saying, and the Gemara is going to discuss this, even if it's usable inside those cracks, but still it's a big tircha if you want to plow your land and plant your land and do whatever you need to do on your land, to have to plow and plant in two different places, one high up here and one down inside those cracks. So since it's very difficult to do that when you buy a base kor of afar, you certainly have no intention of doing that. You certainly have no intention of having to dig down to be able to plow and plant in different places. Now, the Rashbam made up this idea of arba al arba. As we mentioned, the Mishnah didn't say anything about arba al arba. The Rashbam just made a simple tzushtel from Hilcha Shabbos to the halachos of Mechira. The Ritva quotes in the name of Yesh Mefarshim that even if it's not Rachav Arba, even if it's not four tefachim wide, still it doesn't get measured together with it. How does he, and where does he get that from? He says from the fact that the Mishnah does bother to write how deep or high they have to be, but does not write how wide these cracks and rocks have to be. Says the Ritva, to me that's an indication that it makes no difference how wide they are. Not that you should just make a tzushtel, but that makes no difference, otherwise the Mishnah would have said something. How are we going to be miyashiv the Rashbam? So he says, no, the Rashbam would say that once the Mishnah tells us, that it, the Ritva explains this, that the Rashbam would say that once the Mishnah tells us that it's 10 tefachim higher, 10 tefachim deep, that's meant to trigger in our minds, oh, when does 10 tefachim matter? When do we have such an idea that 10 tefachim high, 10 tefachim deep is a makom chashuv by Hilcha Shabbos? Ah, so we must be following the rules of Hilcha Shabbos. So the Mishnah written in shorthand, it doesn't have to go and explain that it also needs to be Rachav Arba. We're supposed to figure that out on our own. It's supposed to, in our own minds, we're supposed to have that trigger already to realize from the fact that we mentioned 10 tefachim, that it must be the same in Hilcha Shabbos. Now we do find obviously many chilukim in the rules of Hilcha Shabbos and the rules of Kalat Aruch Kula. However, usually those chilukim are rooted in the fact that by Hilcha Shabbos, the standard for which one is chayiv in Hilcha Shabbos is what we call Meleches Machsheves. So for instance, it could be, some Rishonim hold, that even though by Hilcha Shabbos we pass in Dover Sheinu Miskavin is Mutter, by Kala Tarukula, maybe we'll pass in Dover Sheinu Miskavin is Aser. Right? It could be that there's such a concept of Melech Shein Tzrich L'Gufa by Hilcha Shabbos, but there's no such concept of Melech Shein Tzrich L'Gufa in Kala Tarukula. Or a concept of, right, so many of the Melech Machshavos concepts apply to Hilcha Shabbos or apply more strongly in Hilcha Shabbos than they do in Kala Tarukula. But that all relates to the level of Kavana and intent in doing the Melacha. Over here, drawing a distinction is a much bigger chiddush, because over here it has nothing to do with intent, nothing to do with melachas machsheves. We're simply defining what's called a makom chashuv and what's not called a makom chashuv. So the Rashbam's, you know, generally when someone's going to make an equation and say, oh, if it's true of Hilcha Shabbos, it's true of here as well, of some other area in halacha. So generally we're pretty skeptical about that, because we know there are so many chilukim, but that's only within the arena of melachas machsheves. When it's not in how a melacha is done, it's just in defining a property, so then it's not. We don't have to be so skeptical. Then the tzushtel, the connection, seems to be much stronger. Also important to note, the Mishnah starts out with the phrase, a guy says to his friend, Beis kor afar ani mochelach. Says the Rashbam, Beis kor afar, kilomar haro'i lizriya. When you say Beis kor afar, you're saying, I want it to be usable for planting. Avalim lo amar afar. Let's say you didn't say the word afar. You just said, Beis kor ani mochelach. Then afilu kula sla'im higiyo. Then even if it's all rocky land and you can't plant a single thing on the entire land, it's still yours. You bought it and you're stuck with it. Why? Can't you tie no? What do you mean? I obviously bought it to plant and I have nothing there's nothing I can do on this land. No, the shemel divnos bayis, ol mishtach ba'peri v'zavinlay. How do we know that you bought the land to plant? Maybe you bought the land to build a house on that land, and rocky land will provide a nice foundation for a house. Or maybe you did just to store things, to keep fruits on that land. The yad lokeach al tachtona, so the lokeach has yado al tachtona, he would have to prove otherwise. And you would have to make it very clear at the time of purchase that he intends to use it for planting, if he wants to have any taina that he intended to use it for planting. So what if you say, you don't say afar. So the Rashbam so far said, if you say base kor afar, that's our Mishnah, then clearly you mean for planting. If you say base kor, and you don't say any, you don't qualify that, then it could be for anything. What if you say base kor karka? So says Rashbam, I think even base kor karka, even if it's all rocks, it's still higio, you're still stuck with it. So the Rashbam very clearly emphasizes the word afar in our Mishnah, that the word afar is critical in understanding our Mishnah, because the word afar is the indication that you want to use this land for planting. Says Tosfos, Beis kor afar, nira denakat afar, l'rabusa, da'afilu hachi pachos miyut fachim nimdadanima. He says, no, you know what the word afar is doing in our Mishnah? It's coming to tell me a big chiddush, that even though you said afar, if these cracks, these crevices in the ground, and these rocks are less than 10 tefachim, they do count as part of the ground. Aye, they're not afar, they're cracks and they're rocks. How can they be? That's the chiddush, that even though you said afar, still it's nimdadima. What does that tell you? That according to Tosfos, the term afar is not needed to teach me that you intend to use this ground for planting. Right, it's only there to teach me that it's a tremendous chiddush that the less than 10 tefachim is included in the base core. V'lo kemo shapir shakuntros the ilam le'afar le'base core stam afilu kulin slaim igiu. Not like Rashbam says that if you don't say afar, then even if the whole thing is full of rocks, then you're going to be stuck with it. No, that's not at all what the kavana is. It's only telling me an extra chiddush that even if it's less than 10 tefachim, it does get measured with it, even though you said afar. But typically, even if you just say beis koreni mochalach, the assumption is it's meant for planting, and you don't have to, the burden of proof is not on the lokeach to prove that he wanted to use it for planting. Now the Ramban asks on the Rashbam that, wait a second, Rashbam only makes sense legabe the rocks, but the crevices in the ground are karkaru ilizria, right? So when you say afar, meaning it makes sense what the Rashbam says, that the term afar comes to indicate that it has to be something that's roi lizria, and that's why these 10 tefach high things are not included. It's dafka because you said afar. That works for the rocks, because rocks can't be planted, but the crevices can be planted. So how does the word afar tell me that 10 tefach deep crevices are not included? That can also, the 10 tefach deep crevices can be planted, so it should be included with the word afar. So the Rashba is mitarets on behalf of the Rashbam, that since it says afar, it's mashma that your kavana is to plant, and therefore it should be understood, and this is what the Rashbam, if you read between the lines, is really saying, it should be understood that when you say, I'm buying this land to plant it, that you mean to plant it in the easiest way possible, and that you're not interested in planting half on this side, half on that side. But without the word afar, maybe you don't intend to plant it, and therefore you wouldn't care about the nekayim, about the crevices in the ground. But the crevices in the ground, even though you can plant in them, it makes your life as a farmer planting much more difficult. Second, says the Rashba, really it could be mechalek that only legabe the slayim, it's totally on whether you say afar or not. Only legabe the rocks above ground, it matters whether you say afar or not. But legabe the nekayim, even if you don't say afar, the mekach is not kayim, because the person does not want to put his money into a place where he's going to have to plant and plow in two or three different places. So the Rashbam is going dafka in the slime, but not legabe the nekayim. Right? The Rashbam never says that the term afar is necessary to teach us about the nekayim. He's saying the term afar is just necessary to teach us that you intend to plant. So where is that nogea? What's that important to be memayit? That comes to be memayit, the slime, where you're unable to plant the slime. You're unable to plant the rocks. Now, okay, so we said that einim dadanima, right? That these rocks that are 10 tefachim high, these crevices that are 10 tefachim deep, they are not measured together with the land. So, who do they belong to? They don't count as part of the base core, and therefore what? If I buy a base core of land and there is a rock that's 10 tefachim high, so it doesn't count as part of the base core. I get a little extra land that completes the base core. Good, that's fine. Now, is it mine though? Is the rock mine? Or does the rock still belong to the original owner? So the Rambam writes that the Nekayim and the Slayim belong to the Lokach because he bought them, Agav the Sada, right, together with the field. And he doesn't have to pay for them, they come together with the field. It's an automatic. That's how the Rambam writes in Hilchos Mechira, Perchav Ches, Halacha Aleph. The Ritva explained to the Rambam that what the Rambam means is very simple, that even though they're not part of the base core of which you spoke at the time of the purchase, nevertheless, you koni it agav the sadas, very similar to what we said previously, hamochras abayis, mochras adelas. Right? When you buy a house, the door comes along with the house. It's something that's attached to the house, and it's just a poshut that it comes along with it. So, says the Ritva, that's what the Rambam means over here as well, that when you buy a base core of afar, along with that base core is going to come some rocks, it's going to come some crevices. Now, it's not part of the base core, but it comes along with the base core. The Ritva, however, says that the Lokeach does not acquire the Nekayim and the Slayim. He does not acquire these crevices and the rocks. And he says, no, there's a big difference between Mochras Abayis and or Mochras Asada, and where you get the things that are attached to it, in our case. Now, the reason why you get the door and you get the things that are attached to a field when you buy a house and when you buy a field is because you did not purchase a Shir Yadua. You did not purchase a very specific measure of land. You said a house, you said a field, so that which means a complete house, a complete field, and included in a house are all the things that are tafel to a house, like a door, that's included in the house. But our Mishnah is not talking about where he sold them a sada shlema. He said, I'm selling you this whole field. No. He said, I'm going to give you a base core of afar. I'm going to give you a base core of plantable land. So that's all he's selling to him, is plantable land. He's not selling him anything beyond what can be planted. That's what that, and therefore it's limited completely to that. Okay, says the Mishnah Vayter, the Imam Allah, what if you didn't say base korafar and imach lach? Rather you said ki base korafar. You didn't say I'm selling you a base korafar, you said I'm selling you something like a base korafar. Then afilu hayusham nikayim amukim yosem yasar tvachim, aslam gavon yosem yasar tvachim, harelim nimdad nimah. Then all the rules change. Then even if you have some the rocks that are higher than 10 tefachim and crevices in the ground that are deeper than 10 tefachim, it all gets measured as part of that kibbeis core. Why? Says Rashbam, kibbeis core mashma kimoshahu. Bein slayim bein afar. Da'achi mashma kibbeis core afar velo beis core afar mamish. Right? Kibbeis core afar means that whatever it is, however it turns out to be, whether it's rocky, whether it's it has cracks all over it, doesn't matter. It all gets measured together with it. Now, wait a second. Why don't you just say base korah ani marchlach? I mean, according to the Rashbam, the word afar is what added in that it needs to be plantable ground. So that's what taught me that you can't have rocks that are 10 tefachim high. Now, if you want to include rocks that are 10 tefachim high, just say base korah. Don't say the word afar. Right, it's a little bit strange that you would have to add in another qualifier to cancel out the first qualifier. You added an afar as a qualifier, so you need to add in kibbeis core to cancel out the afar qualifier. So says Rashbam, afilu hayusham nekayim amukim nimdadim adalahachi ahani kibbeis core letfuyahani. So he says kibbeis core comes to tell me that you can have these things. Now he doesn't deal with this question. Yeah, he does not deal with this question, but perhaps we can suggest that it relates to what we said before, that the Ramban asks on the Rashbam that why would afar affect the nekaim? It would only affect the slayim. The word afar should only tell me that the slayim are not included because slayim are not plantable, but nekaim are plantable. So maybe they are included. So what did we say? One of the terutzim that we said was enechinami. The word afar does not affect the slime. Slime is a totally different issue. It does not affect the nekayim. Nekayim are a totally different issue. That's simply because a reasonable person doesn't want to plant in two or three different places. So maybe that's why we have to come up with a case of ki. If you just say base core, so maybe without the word afar, maybe in the Rashbam's reading of it, if you just say base core, so then included in the sale are is going to be the slime. So it won't work. Because if you just say base core, it's going to be included both the slayim and the nekayim. So kibbeis core also includes both the slayim and the nekayim. Sorry, I was just thinking out loud. It doesn't work. So I don't know. It's a kasha. Why does it have to be kibbeis core afar? If it could just say base core, that would the Mishnah could have distinguished with an even easier case by saying base core with an even greater chiddush. Maybe this is the greater chiddush. Maybe that's the vart, that it's a greater chiddush once we say afar to say that even though you're saying afar, that just one extra letter of ki adds enough to make it that the slayim and the kayim are included in the sale. Okay, maybe that's the chiddush. Says the Gemara, Tan Hasam. We have a Mishnah in regards to being makdish a field. Now, some important background information in terms of being makdish a field. There is a halacha that when Yovel is noeg, during the times that Yovel is noeg, which, by the way, only occurs when Rov Yoshve Aleha, when most of Klal Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael. So during the time that Yovel is noeg, there's something called makdish te'achuza, a halacha called makdish te'achuza, that if a person is makdish te'achuza, so the pasuk says in the chumash, right, that v'misteachuzazo yakdish ishla Hashem v'ya'erkecha lefi zaro zerachomer sarim v'chamishim shekel kesef. The Torah gives a specific amount that you have to, that if you want to be pulled to the field, that you would have to pay. What do you mean a specific amount? Can't I just see how much the field is worth and that's how I'll be pulled it? No. When it's a steachuza, when that's your inheritance and you go and you makdish it, there's a very specific amount that the Torah gives regardless of the actual value of the field. That's why the halachas of steachuza are in Meseches Erechin. What are Erechin all about? What's the definition of an Erech? An Erech is a given amount to determine a given value, not an actual value. Right? An Erech of a person is based on his age and gender. not based on his strength, not based on what he's able to do, not based on his intelligence, simply age and gender. That determines a person's erech. It's a given value. So too, when it comes to Steyachuzah, when you are Makdish Steyachuzah, the Torah says, it's considered to be valued at Chamishim Shekel Kesef for each Zerach Homer Sorim, right? It's considered to be valued at Chamishim Shekel Kesef. So if I'm going to be Poda it, well, if I'm Poda it right away, right after the previous Yovel, so then I pay the full Chamishim Shekel Kesef. If I'm Poda it 25 years into the Yovel period, I'd only pay half that. And etc. You go Kefi Cheshbon, you have Cheshbon out, how much it is for each year, it's each year is one shekel kesef. So if it's a year into it, 49 shekel kesef, 2 years, 48 shekel kesef, etc. That's how you do a pidyon of a steyachuza. So says the Mishnah, hamakdish sadeu b'shas yovel. Let's say a person's makdish his field during times when yovel is noheg, nosin lo the bezera chomer sa'orim chamishim shekel kesef. Right, just tells us what the Chumash tells us. For each bezera of chomer sa'orim, you would give chamishim shekel kesef. For each particular size of land, a bezera chomer sa'orim, where you can plant a chomer sa'orim, that you would pay 50 shekel kesef. That happens to be the size of a base core. So for each base core, like we spoke about in our Mishnah, you would pay 50 shekel kesef. Now, interesting, Rashbam says bishas hayovel. What does it mean, bishas hayovel? Says Rashbam, bizman shayovel noheg. It means during those times in history when we observe yovel. Dilu bizman shayne yovel noheg, tan berichin, denifta b'shavyo. If it were not during a time that yovel is noheg, then you wouldn't have this whole cheshbon of figuring out, well, how many years to the yovel, 50 shekel kesef. No, since you don't have the whole cheshbon, we cancel the whole system, and you would go with what you would normally assume, which is the actual value of the field, and that's how you would be podit. Kiditran, amakdish say b'shah shayne yovel noheg, amr lo, at p'sach rishon. Now, if this Mishnah is saying that you pay Chamishim Shekel Kesef, it must be talking about someone who's Makdish his field right away, right after Yovel. Velogar Sinan Bishnas Yovel. But the Girsa of the Mishnah cannot be that you Makdish the field Bishnas Hayovel. You see how the mistake could have been made. It says Bishas Hayovel. It should not be Bishnas Hayovel. Right, because that's Machlok Samurai, and what the halacha is when you makdish the field during Yovel itself. No, the discussion over here is you makdish the field immediately after Yovel, as soon as Yovel is over. Bishas Hayovel, meaning in a time in history when Yovel is knowing. That's what it's talking about. Says Tosfos, not necessarily. Says Tosfos, you don't have to change the girsa. Pirush Bekuntras, Logar Sinan Bishnas Hayovel, to Bishnas Hayovel Atzma Pligi Rav Shmuel Perkein Makdishin. Because we have a machlokas in Mesachas Erechin, what the halacha is when you are Makdish field in the Shnas Hayovel. Umihu says Tosfos, however, Berov Svarim Garsinan Hasam Besedar Mishnah, Bishnas Hayovel. Says, bottom line is, you look in all the girsaos, it says in that Mishnah, Bishnas Hayovel, it does not say Bishas Hayovel. So what's the pshat? So it says, tells us, Yesh Lomar, the Bishnas Hayovel Mashma Shapir, Shana Sha'achar Hayovel. The words Shnas Hayovel do not mean the year of Yovel itself. Shnas Hayovel, that phrase means the year after Yovel. V'lo Shnas Chamisha Mamish, Midolokhtani Bishnas Hayovel Atzma, K'darim Plukad Rav Shmuel. Very interesting. He says, whenever the Tanaim want to tell you about the Yovel year itself, they'll always say Shnas Hayovel Atzma. They'll add in that extra word. They don't just say Shnas Hayovel. They say Shnas Hayovel Atzma. Ve'afgav d'chsiv b'Shnas Hayovel Yashav Hasada. I fractosos, but says in Chumash that b'Shnas Hayovel fields go back, and that's referring to Shnas Hayovel Atzma, but it doesn't say the word Atzma. He says, "V'hasma al karch b'shnas hayovel atzma, yesh lechalik the lashon Torah lechud, the kral lavor chelicht of atzma." He says, "Yeah, but that's something we have throughout Shas. We always say lashon Torah lechud and lashon chacham lechud. That the way the chacham spoke was different in employing certain phrases than the way the Torah would speak. And when the chacham speak, when they want to say the yovel year, they'll always say b'shnas hayovel atzma." But when the Torah speaks, the Torah will say Shnas Hayovel, will not necessarily say Shnas Hayovel Atzma. So fine. So this is the Mishnah in Erechim. What does the Mishnah say? In Makdash Afield, there's a certain value. So far, no Chiddush. Chamishim Shekel Kesef, for each Zerach Chomer Sa'orim. Hayusham Nikayim Amukim Yitfachim Oslam Gvon Yitfachim. But says the Mishnah Vayter, what if there are 10 tefach deep crevices or 10 tefach high rocks in the field? Then they don't get measured together along with the field. Now, what does it mean? They don't get measured together with the field. Says Rashbam, they're not counted as part of this predetermined value for which you're poda a field. They're considered a separate field. And since it's unplantable, therefore, it doesn't have its own cheshbon. It's just nifta based on how much it's actually worth. So yes, the cracks and the crevices and the rocks are made hegdish. They do become hegdish. But when you're makdish that field, but when you want to be poda it, you don't take it into that cheshbon of the predetermined value. Rather, if you want to be poda it, you're poda it for its actual value. That's what the Rashbam says. Says the Rashbam in the second skinny line, "V'leka lemei marinim dadni ma delo kachi klal." And don't tell me "einim dadni ma" means that it doesn't become kodesh in the first place. That's not b'shili amochras habayis, because we learned in this masechta hamakdish sada hitish as kolana filu bar v'gas v'kol shkei nechal muslayim. We learned in this masechta that that's not so. That if you makdish your field, you makdish everything. Even a bar inside of the field is hukdash as well. Certainly nechayim and slayim, little cracks and crevices and rocks, of course you're makdish that. No, the issue of einim dadanimah just means it doesn't get measured into the zera chomer sa'orim in terms of the pidyon, in terms of how you're going to value the pidyon. But in terms of becoming hektish, of course it gets counted. Obviously, if the Rashbam needs to tell you, lekha lemeimar, don't say this pshat, so someone must say that pshat, right? So who says it? The Yad Ramah. The Yad Ramah writes that nekayim slayim lo huktashu klal v'notel lo pidyon, they're not huktash at all, and therefore you can take them back without even being put to them, because they're not b'chlal asadash huktasha, they're simply not included in the field that was huktash to begin with. Right, so that's who the Rashbam is coming to be mimai, to tell you not to say like the Yad Ramah. The Ritva says that the nekayim and the slayim are kodesh, like a steachuza. Einim dadanima means that it's as if you were makdish them separately. So when you want to come and be poda the field, if you don't want to be poda from hegdish, the whole thing, you only want to be poda the field, and you don't want to be poda the nekayim and the slime inside of the field, the gizbar can't tell you, sorry, you got to take back the nekayim and slime together with the field. No, they're two separate fields, and therefore you can be poda one without the other. Tremendous chiddush, even he goes much further than the Rashbam went. So basically you have three levels over here. The way the Yad Ramah understands is, einim dadanima, the slime and the nekayim, they're not even included in hegdish. They never even become holy. Says Rashbam, yes, they do become holy. They just don't become holy with the normal rules of Chamishim Shekel Kesef. But it has its regular rules. It would have the rules of a regular field based on its own value. And the Ritva goes even further and says, no, it does become holy, and it has the rules of Chamishim Shekel Kesef. It's just that it's considered a separate field with the rules of Chamishim Shekel Kesef. And therefore, you can be poda one without the other. Tremendous chiddush of the Ritva. So anyway, says the Gemara, v'amai liktushuban peinafshayhu. Let's go with the Rashbam now. Right, assuming that it means that they do become holy, but they're not considered zera chomer saorim. They don't have the special rules of steachuza. So frak the Gemara, why not? Let them become, if you don't want to measure them together with the field, let them be chashim in their own right. And they should also be nifta based on the special cheshbon in the Torah, right? They should they shouldn't be based on their own value. It should be based on the idea of chamishim shekel. This is plantable area. Why shouldn't it be included? That's how Rashbam would have to understand the kasha. Now again, you have to follow through what the question would be according to the Yad Ramah, according to the Ritva as well. We just don't have time for that right now. So says the Gemara, v'chi teima kivin d'lavi beis kor lo kachi. Oh, maybe you're going to say since it's too small, it doesn't get the halach of a base core, it doesn't get the halachos of chamishim shekel kesef of a stei achuza. No, it's not true. It doesn't matter how large the land is. You just do the cheshbon based on the size. V'atanya sade matam alam l'fish nemer zera chomer saorim v'chamishim shekel kesef. Ein li ala shehikdash binin azeh. Meaning from the phrase zera chomer saorim v'chamishim shekel kesef, I would only know that if you makdish that amount of land, that you have the rules of stei achuza. Minayin l'rabos lesach v'chatzi lesach sa tirkav v'chatzi tirkav. How do I know that no matter what size the piece of land that you're makdish is, it could still have these rules of stei achuza? Tamalamar sadeh. That's what the word sadeh comes to include. Any field of any side, mikol makom, sadeh, no matter what, it's always going to be included. So therefore, we're back to our question. Why don't we take these rocks and these crevices that you're makdish and say that not only should they be kodesh, but they should have a rule of chamishim shekel kesef, of a regular stei achuza. After all, it's plantable land. Who told you it's plantable land? These crevices are crevices that are full of water, and therefore you can't plant inside of them, since they're full of water. By the way, this discussion seems to indicate much more like the Rashbam on the Mishnah, who said that it must be four tefachim wide. Right? Because if you're talking about that, it's a kol shu wide. Who says it's plantable? How could you plant inside a crevice that's 10 tefachim deep and is a kol shu wide? It would be impossible. It would never get any sunlight. So it gives you the indication, at least, that it has some width to it. The crack has some width to it. And the Gemara has to say, oh, you know how we're going to make it not plantable? It's talking about a case where it's full of water. Dekanami, dekatani, dumyu de slime. How do I know that we're talking about non-plantable land in this Mishnah Neiruchin? Because it puts crevices together with slatim, and rocks we know you can't plant on. So just like the rocks that we're speaking about cannot be planted, the crevices in the land also cannot be planted. Shmamina. So that's the raya. So frek the Gemara, wait a second. If we're talking about crevices that cannot be planted, ihachi afilu pachas mikanami, why does it have to be 10 tefachim deep in order to not be included as part of the Zera Chomer Sa'orim for Chamishim Shekel Kesef? Even if it were less than 10 tefachim deep, it should not be included. Now, the Rishonim point out that the term Ihachi over here is a little bit out of place, right? Because even based on the Havamina, we can ask this Kasha, right? I mean, the term Ihachi is mashma that this Shaila only came up based on the teretz that the Mishnah is talking about, Nekayim Sheyesh Be'mayim, right? Crevices that have water. But based on the assumption that we're talking about Nekayim Sheyesh Be'mayim, it wouldn't be a problem. But Frank tells us, what are you talking about? This would have been a problem anyway. Meaning the point is that less than 10 tefach deep slaim, rocks, less than 10 tefach high rocks, are not b'nei zriya. So granted, for the nekayim it wouldn't have been a problem, but it would have been a problem for the slaim anyway, because rocks are never plantable, so even if it's less than 10 tefach high. So the kasha is not really an ihaki kind of kasha. Okay, so Tosfos is miyashev, why we say ihaki, the Ramban is miyashev, shita lo no delami and kiddushin, everyone has their own terutzim. But anyway, so let's ignore the ihaki for now, but the kasha just is, even if it were less than 10 tefachim, still it's not plantable. So says the Gemara, hanu nagari da'ara mikru shidri da'ara mikru. Now, when it's less than 10 tefachim, it just becomes like battle to the land. That's what's charming about the land, that it has these little cracks and crevices. It just becomes part of what the land is. It's called like the spine of the land, or you know, it's called the cracks of the land. It doesn't have its own shame. It's not considered a separate makom where it's not going to be included. So therefore, it's included. Fine, that's all in terms of being makdish a field. We weren't talking about being makdish a field. Our Mishnah was about selling a field, right? So selling base kor afar. So says the Gemara, hachamai, what would be the halach over here? In our Mishnah, we said, if I sell you a base kor afar, the 10 tefach deep crevices are not included. So by Hekdesh, we said, oh, you know what that means? 10 tefach deep crevices are not included by Hekdesh? It means that it's unplantable crevices. Do we mean the same thing over here? Is it only if it's unplantable inside those crevices that they're not included? Or is it even if it is plantable? Samra Papa, afal pi she'ein melei mayim. No, it doesn't have to be full of water. Even though you can plant them, it's still not included in the mechira. My time, oh, why? Because ein adam rotzo she'itein moso b'makom echad v'yirlo k'shnayim v'shlosh mekamos. No one wants to give his money for a field and then have a field that's actually not a field, but is actually split up into two or three different mekamos where he's going to have to go and plant and plow in two or three different places. Mask of Ravina Vadumya the Slaim Katani, but wait a second. It puts Nekayim together with Slaim in our Mishnah. Shouldn't that teach us the same thing that we learnt by the Mishnah in Erechin? That Mas Slaim Dlav Ben Ezriya Ninu, Afhani Nami Dlav Ben Ezriya Ninu? That just like the Slaim we mentioned, obviously are things that are areas that cannot be planted, so too Zraim are also an area that cannot be planted. So shouldn't that teach us? Shouldn't we learn that from the Mishnah that therefore the Nekaim must be Malayim Mayim. It must be referring to Nekaim that cannot be planted. So says Gemara, no, Kikatani Dumi Deslaim HaPachas Mikan. Now you know when we say it's Dumi Deslaim, when we're dealing with things that are Pachas Mikan, when we're dealing with things that are less than 10 Tfachim, meaning when we say that less than 10 Tfachim is Nimdad Nima, right? So that it does get measured with it. So in that sense, it's Dumi Deslaim, right? That it's similar to the slime, less than 10 tefachim, that it does get measured with it. But in a chinami, when it's more than 10 tefachim, it's different than slime. Slime more than 10 tefachim are not counted specifically because they cannot be planted. The nekayim more than 10 tefachim, even though they can be planted, since they're planted separately and not together with everything else, therefore it's not nimdad nima. Fine, period. Says Gemara, Amra Yitzchak, Trashim Sha'amru, Besar Ba'as Kavin. What does this mean? Trashim Sha'amru Besar Ba'as Kavin. So the Rashbam explains, when we say Pachas Mikan, that you have less than 10 tefach deep crevices, less than 10 tefach high rocks. So we said that it's Nimdad Nima, that it gets measured together with the rest of the field. And the same would be true if it were Nekayim that were full of water, that were not Royal Israel, but are less than 10 tefachim, that it's Nimdad Nima, right? So he said, but that's only, right? Hani Mili says Rashbam, Dinimdat kigon de lohavu elabes arba as kavin bein kulan. That if you measure them all together it will be less than 4 kavin worth of rocks and crevices. Kimitzarefes luhu bahu beis kor, vuhu adin lekavayim bechatsi kor. Aval tefemi dalet kavin lo mekabel lokeach. But if we're more than dalet kavin of rocks and crevices, the lokeach doesn't want a field that's so full of rocks and crevices. Da beis kor afar asni lemocher lokeach. Meaning, in our Mishnah, made it sound like only if they're 10 tefachim high or 10 tefachim deep is it a problem. Otherwise, everything's included. Says the Gemara, not so fast. If you have if you were supposed to buy a base korafar, and inside that piece of land you have a million different rocks that are less than 10 tefachim high, you can't do anything there. It's impossible to plant. So there is a limit to how many rocks less than 10 tefachim high, how many crevices less than 10 tefachim deep you're willing to accept as well. So he says, Tashim Shamru based on Baz Kavin. So with Stavka, it's 4 Kavin. Amra Vuk for Bracham of Vushim of Lon Bechameshus Kavin. That's only, these 4 Kavin have to be spread out in Chameshus Kavin of area. Certainly, if they're spread out more, then it's even better, right? Because then it's for sure batel to the land. But if they're only Mufuzar within Dalid Kavin, the 4.5 Kavin of area, meaning they're very tightly packed together, they're very closely packed together, then you would not be willing to accept even Dalid Kavin, right? Even that shear of Dalid Kavin has to be spread out in some reasonable way, at least over 5 Kavin of area. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan Vusha Mavlatin Beruba Shal Sada. He says, no, it has to be spread out in the rove of the field. Beruba Shal Sada. Now there are 2 Gersos over here. Our Gersa is Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan, which Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar, right, which is that Rabbi Chiya bar Abba is disagreeing with the previous statement of Rav Ukva bar Chama. However, the Rif has a Gersa Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Not that it's Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar, but it's that Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Now, whenever you have the word Amar before the name, so that usually indicates that it's not a machlokas. When you have the name before the Amar, it usually indicates that it is a machlokas. And that's what the Ritva points out over here. That according to the gears of the Rif, Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan, he's not being cholik on the previous sheet. He's just being mefarish. That these 4 kavin that are mefuzar on a strip of land that's 5 kavin, like Marukva said, has to be that strip of land is wide enough that it only covers, the strip only goes across the miut of the land. If that strip goes across is so narrow that a strip of 5 kavin is able to extend across the majority of the land, then it's no good. So he's further qualifying the previous statement. That's how the Rif understood it, based on his girsa. Says Gemara Vayter, wait a second, the Gemara is going to ask several questions. What if rov of these dalet kavin are on the miut of the field, and a miut of the dalet kavin are on the rov of the field? Then what's the din? Do we say that's considered too tightly packed, or it has to be evenly dispersed? So teku, we leave that as a teku as well. We're going to have a lot of tekus. By Rabbi Yirmiya, kashir mahu. What if these dalet kavin are in the ruba shel sada? They're scattered around the rov of the field, but they're not in a square, rather they're in a circle. Kishir means like a bracelet. So you see in the top picture in the Rashbam. So meaning when it's in a square, so you could plant in between them very easily and you can plow very easily. But when it's in a circle, there's no angles, so it makes it much more difficult to deal with. So is that, do we say, nah, since it's spread out on rover the field, that's okay? So kishura mahu, what if it's kishura? What does kishura mean? Says Rashbam, to kol keneged ashura enu yachlachush. Kishura means like a row, right? So anything across from the shura you can't plow. Ulzra asadav kol charishos bein and shasivariv kishura kazeh. And he draws a picture over here. Umiyu al yideet chak yachlachush. But at least al yideet chak you can plant right up until the area where those rocks are. It's tadinin mahu. What if it's tadinin? Literally means stadiums. So what does that mean? So it's tadinin. So if you look at picture number 3 in the Rashbam, right, it's tadinin is the shape of horns. What does the shape of horns have to do with stadiums? Because that's what they would go to stadiums for, bullfights, right? So if it's shaped like the horns of a bull, what's the din? Derech hakalsam mahu. What if it's zigzag? Picture number 4 in the Rashbam, right? The rocks are zigzagging through the field, where again it makes it's increasing levels of difficulty that we're describing over here. So what's the din? So in all these cases, says the Gemara, teku. We leave it as a teku. Tana im hayasela yechidi afilu kol shuei nimdadima. If there was a sela yechidi. What does a sela yechidi mean? So this is machlokas Rashbam and Tosfos. Says Rashbam, amasnisan kaima brisa dekatari pachos mikan nimdadima. The Mishnah said that less than 10 tefachim of rock is measured together with the field. The Katani Allah Shim Haya Sali Yechidi Chutz Min Asada Samuch L'Sada. What if the less than 10 tefach rock was right outside of the field, near the field, right outside of the field? Ubalo Amocha L'Haskel Limdod Misham. And the Mocha says, this counts. This is part of the measurement. Afilu we have Yahu Sela Kol Shu Davi Namuch Miut Tefachim Harbei. Even if that Sela is very small and it's less than 10 tefachim, the Katzer Mi'arba Tefachim and it's narrower than 4 tefachim, Afilu Hachi Ein Nimdad Nima. It still cannot be measured together with the field. The Mocher can't say, if it's on the very edge, the Mocher can't say, yeah, this is included in the measurement. No, you can say, that's on the edge. That's outside of the field that I'm buying. I want the measurement to start after that area of rock. Right, no matter how small the rock is. And if it was close to the border, even if it was a kolshu, it wouldn't be measured together with it. Meaning, what's the Gemara adding with that line? It's saying, lav dafka if it's yichidi mamish, even if it's in the field, meaning not only if it's outside, yichidi means just outside of the field, lav dafka outside of the field, even if it's in the field, but it's samach lemetzar, it's right up against the border of the field, so close to the edge of the field, then still, even if it's a kolshu of rock, you can start the measurement after that area of rock. You don't have to include that area of rock in the measurement. Bayrav Papa Mufsak Afar Benatayu Mahu. What if there's dirt in between the rock and the border? There's a little bit of dirt. There's a little bit of area, less than 3 tefachim of area between this rock and the border. So what's the din then? Does the rock get included in the field? Again, it's a tiny little rock. It's less than 10 tefachim. So teku. The Gemara leaves it as a teku. Bayravashi Afar Min Lamata Vitzunma Lamala. What's the din if it's dirt on the bottom but rocky on top, or vice versa? So then, does it have a din of a rock or does it not have a din of a rock? Teku, we leave that as a teku as well. So all these things are left as a teku to be matari to all the questions of Mitzvah Hashem when Eliyahu HaNavi comes and deals with all these things. Right? The Chafetz Chaim writes in one of his svarim that we say teku, but we only say teku. Teku is not an excuse not to learn. You can't say that Chafetz Chaim is very into learning Kachim. He emphasized the importance of learning Kachim. So he says a person shouldn't say, I'll learn Kachim when Mashiach comes. I'll learn Kachim when it becomes Nogaya again. He says, no, the word Teku should tell us that that's not okay. Because what does Teku tell us? That after learning a Sugya and raising certain questions through the learning of the Sugya, then you can say Teku. You can't never open up a Sefer and say Teku. Right, meaning, what's the halacha? Do I have to put on tefillin today? Teku. No, you can't just wait for Mashiach to come to deal. You have to learn all the sugyas first, and then when Eliyahu Navi comes, he'll be able to. He's not going to have time to sit with us and teach us Aleph Beis. He's not going to have time to sit with us and teach us what it says in Shulchan Aruch. He's going to teach us the whatever's a real kasha on something. That's why I said you have to, even the halachas of kachum, which aren't again now, now. You need to really learn them so that when we have a question, that's when we'll have a take. That's when we can rely on Eliyahu Navi. Okay, I guess we'll stop here because it's a good stopping point. And we'll catch up tomorrow. That's just a show.